Star Wars Unlimited, is it worth getting into? How to play and where to start 2026? Dax here. Let us skip the brochure language and find out what actually works. Yes, Star Wars Unlimited is one of the friendliest non-magic TCGs to learn. And as of 2026, it's deep into its release cadence with the set A Lawless Time, March 2026. Skip the booster box first plan unless you specifically want to crack packs for the fun of it. Let me name the flaw first, because that's what I do. Star Wars Unlimited is a licensed product, and licensed card games have a long, sad history of being shallow cash grabs that sell you a logo and call it a game. So I went in suspicious. I came out annoyingly charmed. Fantasy Flight built an actual game under the lightsaber gloss, one with a clever two-arena board, a dual base leader engine, and a turn structure that respects your time. It's not magic, and thank the maker for that. What makes it click is the leader and base setup. You don't just shuffle 60 random cards and pray. You pick a leader, Vader, Leia, Luke, Jabba, your commander for the game, a base, your 30 HP life total that you're defending, and a 50-card deck built around 2 of 6 color aspects. The win condition is brutally simple: blow up the other base. Everything you do bends toward that, and because both arenas, ground and space, are always live, there's a constant push-pull that keeps a 20-minute game from going stale. The honest catch for 2026: the game now rotates. A Lawless Time, March 2026, kicked off the first set rotation, meaning the oldest sets eventually fall out of the competitive format. That doesn't matter even slightly for kitchen table play, but if you think you're investing, read that sentence again. This is a game to play, not a 401k. Now let's get you in cheap and playing well. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. Is Star Wars Unlimited actually worth getting into in 2026? Short answer: if you like Star Wars or you like tight, fast two-player card games, yes. The game launched with Spark of Rebellion in March 2024 and has shipped a new set roughly every 4 months since. It is a real, supported, organized play TCG, not a one-and-done box. By 2026, the line is 7 sets deep, with A Lawless Time out March 13, 2026, pre-releases the weekend prior, carrying over 260 new cards and more sets already on the calendar. What I genuinely respect is the on-ramp. Most TCGs hand you a 200-page rulebook and a smirk. SWU gives you a free pile of ready-to-play decks at every price point, a clean tilde 20-minute game length, and rules you can teach in 5 minutes. The two-arena board, ground, and space, each its own combat lane, hands it tactical depth that most licensed card games never bother to build. The flaw, and there is always one, is rotation. Starting with A Lawless Time, SWU now rotates the three oldest sets: Spark of Rebellion, Shadows of the Galaxy, Twilight of the Republic, out of the premier format. But here is the part the Doom posters skip. Fantasy Flight launched the Eternal format the same day, where every card ever printed stays legal forever. So nothing you own dies, you just choose which format you sit down to play. For kitchen table play, it is a complete non-issue. The only mugs game is buy a box of the old hotness and hold it, and we do not do that here anyway. Puzzlewick points you to play the thing, not flip it. How does the game actually play? Leaders, bases, resources, arenas, here's the engine in plain English. Each game you bring 3 things: a leader, a base, and a 50-card deck, minimum 50, plus the leader and base. Your base starts at 30 HP, reduce the opponent's base to 0 and you win. Simple goal, deep road to get there. The clever bit is resources. There's no separate land or mana card type. Once per turn, you take any card from your hand and set it face down as a resource. To pay for a card you exhaust, turn sideways, resource cards equal to its cost. Every card in your deck is therefore both a potential play and a potential resource. No flooding out on dead lands, no being mana-screwed. It is one of the smartest design choices in the modern TCG canon, and it is why the game so rarely feels unfair. Your leader sits beside your base, usable from turn 1 with a recurring ability, and can later be deployed as a unit once you bank enough resources, turning your commander into a board threat at exactly the right moment. Units come in 2 flavors, ground and space, living in 2 separate arenas. A ground unit can only fight other ground units, space fights space, but either can swing at the enemy base. Combat is simultaneous. Attacker and defender both deal damage equal to their power, so trading is a real decision, not a free swing. Keywords add the spice. Sentinel enemies in that arena must attack this unit, not your base or other units. Shielded, a one-time token that eats the first hit. Raid, a power boost when attacking, and restore heals your base on attack. The turn loop step by step. Set up, each player puts their leader beside their base, 30 HP, shuffles their 50-card deck, and draws an opening hand with 1 free mulligan. Resource mindset: once per turn you may place 1 card from hand face down as a resource. Resources are your mana, exhaust them to pay card costs. One action at a time: play a card, attack with a unit, use a leader unit ability, take the initiative, or pass. You alternate actions, not whole turns. Pick your arena, play units into ground or space. The first unit played locks which physical side is which arena for the rest of the game. A attack, exhaust a unit to attack an enemy unit in its own arena or swing at the enemy base unless a sentinel forces it to attack that sentinel instead. When a base hits 0 HP, that player loses. Most games wrap in about 20 minutes. What's the one rule nobody tells beginners? The initiative counter. This is the section the box's quick start underplays and every good player wishes someone had explained on day one, so let me name it. Between rounds, somebody holds the initiative counter and whoever holds it acts first next round. Because you alternate one action at a time, going first is a genuine tempo edge. You get to make the threat and your opponent has to respond. Here is the trap and it is gorgeous. During a round, on your action you may take the initiative, claim the counter to guarantee you go first next round. But the instant you grab it, you are done for the rest of this round. You auto-pass every remaining action. So grab it too early and you hand your opponent a string of free, unanswered plays. Grab it too late and they snatch it first. The whole round becomes a quiet game of chicken, who blinks and takes initiative and who squeezes out one more action before they do. Why this matters for a newcomer: a huge number of cards read while you have the initiative. Suddenly the counter is not a tiebreaker, it is a resource you fight over. The single fastest way to look like you have played 100 games is to stop reflexively taking initiative the moment it is offered and instead ask, how many actions do I still want this round and can I afford to go quiet? Most beginners pass the initiative back and forth without thinking. Stop doing that and you will start winning the close ones. Which product should a brand new player buy first? Do not overthink this. There are exactly two correct first purchases and which one depends on how green you are. It is SW, use answer to the Pokemon Battle Academy, two simplified pre-built 50-card decks, Vader vs. Leia, a fold-out board and a learn-as-you-go guide. Two people can sit down knowing nothing and be playing in minutes. It is the gentlest possible door into the game. These replace the old two-player starter sets. A single, ready-to-play, competitively-minded 50-card deck built around 1 liter, including special rarity cards in full 3-copy playsets plus a booster pack. For a lawless time, the two options are loaded. The Jabba the Hutt deck runs the Great Pit of Carcoon base with Salacious Crumb, Malakili, and the Sarlacc of Carcoon. The Leia Organa deck runs the Daimyo's Palace base with Han Solo, R2-D2, Lando Calrissian, and Leia's Disguise. Buy both, hand one to friend, and you are instantly playing the actual game with actual decks tonight. What I would not do first is open with a booster box. Cracking packs is fun, but it is a terrible way to assemble a playable deck. You will get a pile of random singles and no coherent plan. Boxes are for after you are hooked, and I will defend that hill. What's the biggest skill beginners get wrong? Resourcing discipline. Ask any seasoned SW player what separates a new player from a good one and you will hear the same word, resourcing. New players treat the once per turn resource drop as an afterthought. They slam down whatever card they least want and move on. That habit is quietly costing them games. The hard truth is that every card you place face down as a resource is a card you can never play. So the early game question is not, what do I not want, but what do I genuinely never need? Resource your dead cards, the off-aspect filler, the situational answer you will not see a use for, and protect your bombs. A classic beginner blunder is shoving your one expensive finisher under as a resource on turn one because it costs too much right now, then spending the rest of the game wishing you still had it. And here is the pro move that feels like a cheat code. On the turn you can deploy your leader, watch your opponent first, bait out their resources. If you deploy your commander into an open board and they have nothing left to punish it, great, it sticks. If you deploy into a full grip and they remove it instantly, you just fed them a kill. So play around it, a quick checklist for your first dozen games. Resource your trash, hold your gold, bury off-aspect and dead situational cards, never bury your one big finisher early. Bait before you commit, make a smaller threat first and watch what removal they spend before deploying your leader. Count their open resources, if they're tapped out your expensive play is safe, if they are flush expect an answer. Slow down by one action, the patient play usually beats the flashy one. Tempo is a marathon, not a sprint. That single habit cluster is worth more than any single card you could buy. How do I build my first real deck? Once you have played a few games with a pre-built, building your own is the good part. The rules are refreshingly tight, exactly 1 liter, exactly 1 base and at least 50 other cards with a maximum of 3 copies of any single card. The core constraint is aspects, the 6 colors, heroism white, villainy black, aggression red, command green, cunning yellow, and vigilance blue. Your leader and base together grant 3 aspect icons, cards matching your aspects are free. While cards outside them cost 2 extra resources per off-aspect icon, the aspect penalty, to play a card with 2 off-aspect icons, therefore costs 4 extra. That nudges you toward a focused 2-aspect deck rather than a rainbow mess, which is exactly what keeps decks coherent and games fast. A Lawless Time complicated this in the best way. It introduced the game's first multi-aspect cards, including the first ever 3-aspect cards, which are push powerful precisely because they are so restrictive to slot. Build greedy, pay the tax, that is the trade. Your first build in order. Pick a leader whose play pattern you actually enjoy. The leader defines your strategy and your aspects more than anything else. Pick a base whose aspect matches the leader's for a clean two-color identity. Some bases add bonus effects on top of HP. Build to your aspects, lean on cards that share your leader base aspects to dodge the extra resource penalty. Curve your costs. Cheap early units cost 1 to 3, mid-game threats and a few expensive finishers, so you always have something to play. Respect both arenas. Pack a mix of ground and space units so you are not helpless if the opponent dominates one lane. Cap at 3 copies, run playsets of your best cards and trim to a tight 50. Free deck builders like SWDB and SW Unlimited DB let you test full lists before you buy a single card. What changed with the pilot and credit mechanics? If you are coming in fresh in 2026, two newer mechanics will shape what your decks can do, and it is worth knowing them before you spend a dollar. First, piloting, introduced in the Space Focus set Jump to Lightspeed March 2025. A pilot is a unit that can deploy normally or be paid down for an alternate, reduced cost, typically a couple of resources plus its aspects, to attach to a friendly vehicle as an upgrade, buffing the vehicle's stats and often granting it an ability. It is a clever bit of dual-use design. The same card is a body when you need a body and a power-up when you need a threat to hit harder. It also feeds straight into the resourcing decisions from the last section. A pilot is rarely the card you want to bury face down because it has two jobs. Second, A Lawless Time leans hard into the Scoundrel and Underworld theme with credit tokens, a small economy mechanic where certain cards generate credits you spend on effects, a thematic fit for a set built around Jabba, Bounty Hunters, and the Galactic Black Market. It is the most engine-wide the game has gotten, and it rewards players who like to build a little economy before they swing. Neither mechanic is mandatory to enjoy the game. Plenty of strong decks ignore both, but knowing they exist stops you from being baffled when an opponent starts stacking pilots on a freighter or buying off effects with a pile of credits. Does rotation mean I'm buying into a dying game? No, it means the opposite, and I will keep saying it until the panic stops. A game that ships new sets and rotates is a living game with an active competitive scene. Dead games stop printing. Here is the release order through 2026 so you can see the cadence. Spark of Rebellion Mar 2024, Shadows of the Galaxy Jul 2024, Twilight of the Republic Nov 2024, Jump to Lightspeed Mar 2025 which added the pilot Space Focus, Legends of the Force Jul 2025, Secrets of Power Nov 2025, and A Lawless Time Mar 2026, with more sets slated later in the year. A Lawless Time is the one a 2026 newcomer cares about. It is the current set, it leans into a Scoundrels and Underworld theme, Hello Jabba, and it introduced multi-aspect cards and credit tokens for richer deckbuilding. It also kicked off the first rotation and, crucially, the Eternal format alongside it. That is the detail worth tattooing on the back of your hand. Rotation only touches the top-tier Premier Tournament format, cycling the three oldest sets out of that one queue. The Eternal format keeps every card ever printed legal forever. Casual play, kitchen table play, and most local store play do not care about either. So a newcomer should buy the current set's products, play, and ignore the rotation noise entirely, unless and until you decide to grind sanctioned premier events, at which point you will know enough to make that call yourself. Final verdict. Buy it if you like Star Wars even a little, or if you just want a sharp, fast, low-commitment two-player card game. SWU is one of the best-designed and friendliest TCG on-ramps going. Skip it if you were planning to treat sealed boxes as an investment. Rotation killed that plan and honestly good. And skip the booster box first approach entirely. That's the rookie mistake that leaves you with a pile of random singles and no deck. Get a pre-built, learn the game, asterisk, then decide how deep you want to go. This one earned the charm. Frequently asked questions. Do I need to buy booster packs to play Star Wars Unlimited? Number 2, people with two spotlight decks or one intro battle box can play complete games immediately. Boosters are for collecting, drafting and customizing a deck later, not for getting started. How long does a game of Star Wars Unlimited take? Most games run about 20 minutes. The resource system, no separate mana cards, and the one action at a time turn structure keep things moving, so it plays much faster than a typical Magic or Pokemon game. What's the difference between a spotlight deck and the old two-player starter set? Spotlight decks replace the two-player starter sets. Instead of two decks in one box, each spotlight deck is a single, more competitively tuned 50-card deck around one leader, including a full 3-copy playset of its key cards plus a booster pack. The trade-off? You now buy two spotlight decks, one each, for a two-player setup, but each deck is closer to real competitive play. Does set rotation mean my cards become useless? Not for casual play. Rotation, which began with A Lawless Time in 2026, only affects the premier competitive tournament format. It slowly cycles the oldest sets out of that format. Your cards always work in casual, kitchen table, and most local store play. Only buy with rotation in mind if you specifically plan to grind sanctioned competitive events. Is Star Wars Unlimited a good investment to buy and resell? No, and that's not what this game is for. With set rotation now in effect, sealed box speculation is a poor bet. Buy SWU to play and enjoy. If you want a specific card, buying that single is almost always cheaper than cracking packs and hoping for it. Can I play Star Wars Unlimited solo or do I need an opponent? It's a two-player head-to-head game at its core, so you'll want an opponent. There are community-made solo and AI variants, and an official companion app online play options exist for finding games, but the boxed experience assumes two players sitting across from each other.